The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Get your Bibles and turn. Oh, I got to read this to you. There's a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher that all went hunting. They all shot at a deer. They argued over who killed it. Lawyer said he did because he's the best shot. Doctor said he'd do an autopsy and tell. He looked at the deer and said, "Well, fellas, the preacher killed it." They said, "How do you know?" "Because it went in one ear and out the other." We have 12 sections of lower floor and 10 sections of balcony. I was preaching one Sunday morning, and it's bad enough when a guy sleeps, but a guy sitting over here started snoring out loud. It was bad enough to sleep, but then to snore, and I hollered. I said, "Hey, wake that guy up." And the guy next to him said, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." So if you go to sleep tonight, I'm going to wake you up. Psalm 142 will not be long, because I know what it's like to have a big day. I had 66 big days and 66 different weeks of campaigns, and I know what it's like, and I know you're tired tonight, so I'm only going to preach 6 hours. No, I'm not. I said that in New Jersey. A woman stood up and said, "Not tonight," and she walked out. But Psalm 142, the first four verses, our text verse will be verse 4. Psalm 142, I preached this sermon on a Sunday night. Eric Riplog, who was on my staff at the time, sat on the platform, and he wrote a song based on this sermon. And the song is "The Value of One." You've probably heard the song. It's a fairly famous song, not only in this country, but around the world. And it's a song about the value of one. And so I want to tonight use this text and talk to you about that. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 4. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here, please. Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Verse 4, our text verse. I looked on my right hand and beheld. Look at this. But there was no man. Underline those two words. But there was no man that would know me. Look at the rest of it. Refuge failed me. Underline this. No man cared for my soul. 1 Samuel chapter 26 verse 2 tells us there were 3,000 soldiers going up and down the hills looking for David. Saul hated David. David became popular, and Saul's jealousy took over, and he wanted to kill David. David is in a cave. He's hiding. Now, I don't know if you've ever been near an army base or a marine base or navy base, but when there are thousands of soldiers marching, the ground almost rumbles. And if you can imagine David sitting in a corner crying out to God, "Oh my God," and nothing, there's no answer. Then he says, "I looked on my right hand and there was nobody there to help me. Refuge failed me." 3,000 soldiers looking for David, going to kill him. And he has nobody to care for him. I want to use that as a launching point on this matter of the value of one. Father, help us now tonight. What a great day. Over 1,100 in Sunday school. No telling how many got saved. It's an amazing thing you've done here. I love it. You love it. Now, God, tonight, help me to help, please, to put one more brick of truth in the wall of life and to help a soul-winning church already. A baptizing church already. Help me to help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. In the early 70s, when I was my wife and my family were members of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Dr. Hiles had, and I want you to write this number down, 800 Sunday school classes. Write it down. 800 Sunday school classes. Next to that, I want you to write down 20. They averaged between 20 to 25 apiece. You take 800 times 20, you're going to come up with 16,000. Now, the A bus ministry never ran more than 20 or 25 on their buses. It was the college, the B, C, and D that went wild. But it was the A, listen carefully. Brother Hiles had a biblical plan, and that was the value of one. I had four children while I was there. Every Saturday, each one of our children receive a visit from their Sunday school teacher. Listen carefully. That meant that every week there was someone in touch with my family. Brother Hiles understood the value of one. Lee Robertson had 10,000 in his church with small Sunday school classes because he understood the value of one. Curtis Hudson in that great church, Forest Hills Baptist Church. And by the way, Highland Park doesn't exist today. Curtis Hudson's church doesn't exist today because they got away from the value of one. But Curtis Hudson understood the value of small classes. We have, in America now, we are crying for revival, and we're crying for God to save America. I'm going to give you scripture tonight that we'll not have time to turn to, but I want you to jot the reference down. I'm afraid that we're misunderstanding what God's intent is for us on a local church basis. We pray for God to save America, but there's only one nation in the Bible that will be saved. That's the nation Israel. There's no promise in the Bible that America will be saved. We cannot stop the decay, but we can delay the decay. But the Bible says clearly, scripture, write this down, Romans 11, 25, 26, the nation Israel will be saved in one day. Write this down, Revelation chapter 12. There'll be a seven-year tribulation period after the rapture takes place. One of these days, we're going to be out of here. If you're not saved tonight, get saved. Because you may be sitting here alone looking at your hymn book in a little bit. But there's going to be a rapture. The dead in Christ will be raised. The twinkling of an eye will be changed. We'll be out of here. We'll be in the air with the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ will take place. The marriage of the Lamb will take place. The marriage supper will take place. All of this in the air when we're with Jesus. On earth, there'll be a seven-year tribulation period that will begin. The first 3.5 years will be a false peace. The false prophet and the beast are going to make a peace, a treaty with Israel. And Israel's going to buy it, hook, line, and sinker. But right in the middle of that tribulation period, Revelation chapter 12 tells us that there'll be a panorama in the sky. You think your 50-inch flat screen TV is something. It ain't nothing when God takes the sky and does a panorama. The picture's going to be of a virgin giving birth to a boy. In this panorama, a dragon will go after the virgin giving birth and go after the baby being born. When Israel looks up and sees that panorama in the sky, they'll be saved immediately. The whole nation will be saved. Then in Revelation chapter 14, there'll be 144,000 preachers, 12,000 from each tribe that'll go out throughout the world and get the gospel to those who did not receive the gospel but have an opportunity to be saved. God wants everybody to get a chance. Everybody will have one chance. So when we look at the nations in the Bible, God nowhere does he promise to save America. Not at all. Write this down, please. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. In Matthew 10, 29 and 30, God says that when a sparrow falls, I'll be right there by that sparrow. He says in that same scripture that the hairs of your head are numbered. I don't mean there's 5,995. I mean there's hair one, hair two, hair three. You bald-headed people are making it easy for God. There's two cities in Arkansas named after you, Bald Knob and Plain View. And we know you're going to heaven because the Bible says there'll be no partying up there. So God says, when a sparrow falls, I'll be right there. If you ever see a sparrow fall, you just get right next to that dead sparrow because God's there. when your hair, you look down in the shower in the morning, you see all your hairs in the drain. God has already deducted them. Write this down, Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. It seems like, as I read the Bible, that God is focusing on the one. In Psalm 142, David, in this cave alone, and David said, I looked to my right hand and refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Write this down, please. John chapter 5 and verse 7. In John 5 verse 7, I believe it's equal in sadness to what we read in Psalm 142. Because for 38 years, a man has been carried to the pool of Bethesda with one hope, and that one hope was that he might be placed in the water after the angels came and troubled the water. But he never got in. I did not say 38 hours. I did not say 38 weeks. I said 38 years he laid by that pool. Others stepped over him to put their loved one in the pool. So God said after the waters were troubled by the angel, the first one to get in would be healed. But this man for 38 years lay that close to that pool, but never got in. When asked, why didn't you get in the water? I'm quoting, here's what the scripture says. Sir, I have no man. Say that with me. Sir, I have no man. Louder. Sir, I have no man. I could almost hear the cry of those in Mesquite. How come you didn't know about this? Well, nobody told me. I didn't know. One man, Shamgar, took an ox goad and killed 600 Philistines. One man, D.L. Moody, heard it said that the world has yet to see what God could do with one man totally sold out to God. One man, Aaron, stood between the living and the dead. One man, John Knox, brought salvation and revival to Scotland. One man, D.L. Moody, brought salvation and revival to America. One man, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, brought salvation and revival to England. Jackie Boy Hiles, 11 years of age, went to Sunday school with holes in his pants, holes in his shoes. And when he saw the other boys and girls, and they were all dressed up for Sunday school, and he wasn't, he cowered to the corner of the room. The Sunday school teacher went and picked him up and put him on her knee. And she began to tell him that God loved him. And he said, as much as these other boys and girls who have good clothes. And that little Sunday school teacher said, probably more. Probably more. Daisy Halls went to visit a poor side of town, and she was getting children to come to her Sunday school class. There was a little boy named Lee. She began to talk to Lee about coming to Sunday school. Finally got permission. And Lee Robertson went to Sunday school at age 10. Miss Daisy Halls gave him the gospel, and he got saved. Probably the man that's had more impact on missionaries around the world, no other man other than Lee Robertson, probably the greatest influence. Dr. Jack Hiles built the world's largest Baptist church. Hold it, a little 11-year-old boy. A 10-year-old boy. I could go on and on with great men who were saved as children and became a powerhouse for God. Now here's what we're doing. We're crying for revival, and then we're getting mad at God because revival doesn't come. Well, revival came over there. Why hasn't revival come here? And the truth is, God is saying, why don't you get off your blessed assurance and go find somebody headed for hell? You're not going to win 100. You're not going to win 1,000. But surely you can find one little boy that doesn't want to go to hell. Surely you can find one little girl that doesn't want to go to hell. And the truth is, we ought to be crying out, sin of God save America, God save Joyce, and God save Joe, and God save Harry, and God save Sam, and God save Susan, and God save Carol, and God save Jim, and God save Mary, and God save Elizabeth, and God save Billy, God save Harriet, and God save Tom. I'm afraid that we're Americans. I'm afraid we want to keep our luxury. I'm afraid sometimes that We don't want to be a third world country, and that's why we want America saved. I think sometimes we like the goodies that we have in America. And by the way, I preach in 17 foreign countries, and I'm telling you right now, when I get back to America, I kiss the ground. If you've ever been somewhere else around this world, you'll be glad to get back. I was so tickled one time, I hugged a deacon. You don't know how hard that was. Write this down, Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Jeremiah 5, 1, here's a country ready for destruction, and God tells Jeremiah to go find one man seeking the truth. All Jeremiah had to do was to find one man, listen to this now, seeking the truth. Say that with me. Seeking the truth. Say it again. Seeking the truth. You don't have to argue with anybody. You don't have to fuss with anybody. Just find somebody that says, hey, I don't want to go to hell. And show them how to go to heaven. Just find one man seeking the truth. And God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I want you to go up and down the highways and the lanes and find one man seeking the truth. Get him saved. Find another man. Get him saved. Find another man. Get him saved. Find another man. That's what he told Jeremiah. And I say to you tonight that God has put within the grasp of all of us tonight to get his attention. And that is the value of one. Just win a little girl to Jesus. Just win a little boy to Jesus. Win somebody's mama to Jesus. Win somebody's daddy to Jesus. We cry, God save America. And God is saying, why don't you cry, God save one. God save one. Nebuchadnezzar's coming from Babylon. The ruthless, fierce army of the enemy is about to come down on that city. In just a few days, the women will be ravished. Just a few days, the women will be raped. In just a few days, every house in the city will be leveled. In just a few days, the parents will take their own children because of a famine, kill them, and eat their own flesh. God said, you can stop this, Jeremiah, if you'll run up and down the streets and the lanes and look for one man seeking the truth. Say that. Seeking the truth. Say it again. Seeking the truth. God's not sending you out here to argue with anybody, fuss with anybody. Just find somebody that doesn't want to go to hell. Tell the people their homes will be spared. Tell the people their families will be spared. Tell the people their city will be spared. Maybe you may not be able to be a D.L. Moody or Lee Robertson or Jack Hiles or Tom Malone or Curtis Hudson or John Rice or a Bob Jones or a Billy Sunday, but surely you can find a little 8-year-old out here that doesn't want to go to hell. You see, you look at these bus workers tonight and say, my goodness, 150 here and 100 here. You don't realize it was one at a time. The great churches in America only grow by, our church grew by 2.5 a Sunday. Same midget every Sunday. Same midget every Sunday. It's not big numbers. It's one. It's one here and one there and one here. You're not going to go out and win 100 people, but you can find somebody. Everybody here can find somebody that wants to be saved. Somebody seeking the truth. If I can find one man seeking the truth, I can spare a city. I can spare a family or a nation. God is looking for someone who'll go in the streets and the lanes and look for somebody seeking the truth. I'm not going to argue with me. You're going to argue with me? Forget it. I'm moving on. You get me stalled in an argument, and there's somebody down the street that wants to be saved, and I got to get to them. I got to get to the people who want to be saved. God is looking for someone who go up and down the streets and the lanes looking for just one person seeking the truth. God needs someone to run through the streets looking for somebody who wants to be saved. Not making people get saved, not forcing people to get saved, but I got saved because I wanted to. I trusted Christ because I wanted to. I got baptized because I wanted to. I joined the church because I wanted to. I go soul winning because I want to. I don't have to do this. I'm retired. I ought to be in Florida on a shuffleboard court in a pair of Bermuda shorts. Get that out of your head. You may not be able to play the piano like these musicians here. You may not be able to play the organ like these musicians, but surely you can find somebody that's seeking the truth. You may not be able to preach like your pastor can. You may not be able to preach like R.G. Lee or Jack Hiles or any of those men, but surely you can find somebody seeking the truth. All you got to do is just talk to people. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? They'll tell you. All you got to do is just find out. And if they'll listen to you, then fine. Paul said to Timothy, commit thou to faithful men. Go as far as they'll let you go. If they slam the door in your face, I guess they don't want to talk to you. One guy crumpled up a track one time, threw it back at me. And I said, man, don't do that. It's got my picture on it. You ought to learn to have fun with your soul. You know that? Somebody cusses you, look at him and say, oh, a Baptist deacon. Somebody throws a bad word at you, just say, whoa, that's a new word. Never heard that before. All God wants you to do, okay, look, God, give us revival. And you sit on your derriere. God, give us revival. And you don't do that. Others did it today, but you didn't. All you have to do is just go out and find somebody that wants to be saved. Just find somebody that wants to be saved and then talk to them. If I put somebody in front of you tonight that wanted to be saved, could you tell them how? Well, that's all God's asking us to do. That's all He's asking us to do. God, send revival. Write this down. Mark 16, and then next to that, write Acts 2. Mark 16. That 11 led to 120 in the prayer meeting room. Now, between there, hundreds had been saved. But 120 showed up for the prayer meeting. And that was done in 50 days. And God poured out His Spirit and His power on them because they were already winning souls. Don't pray for the power of God when you're doing nothing. Pray for the power of God while you're on a bus route. Pray for the power of God while you're out soul winning. Pray for the power of God while you're doing it. And God poured out His Spirit and 3,000 got saved and baptized on a big day. I'm just saying to you that revival does not come first. Soul winning comes first. And when you get busy winning souls, God's going to do something about it. That's why Billy Sunday was successful in his meetings. He was a soul winner. Him and Ma Sunday led people to Christ and got people saved. Next thing you know, he had a big campaign going. I'm just saying to you that Jeremiah 5:1 says very clearly that we're looking for somebody seeking the truth. All right, write this down. Proverbs 14:34. In Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Now, he did not say being righteous. So there's two words I want you to write down. The word righteous and the word righteousness. The scripture says righteousness exalteth a nation. God is saying it's not in being righteous that exalts a nation. It's being an active righteous person that exalts a nation. It is winning souls, being active. You don't smoke, you don't cuss, you don't dip, you don't chew, and you don't run with those that do. Well, big deal. God's not impressed with that. It cost His Son. He died, dipped His soul to hell, and resurrected in order to get you there. But beyond that, he said, even so send I you, John chapter 20. So He is saying to us that righteousness exalteth a nation, not being righteous. You come and fill up 18 inches of pew and go home, come back, fill up 18 inches of pew, go home, come back, fill up 24 and go home, come back, fill up 42 and go home. You're growing in the Lord, you know. And God is saying here, in essence, that's not what will exalt a nation above Satan being able to get a hold of that nation. It's in righteous, being righteousness, actively righteous. I was preaching in Mena, Arkansas, and there's a little mission church, about 30 people there. Dr. Howard Hall from Shreveport and I were preaching together, and I preached on Monday night, "You Ain't Right If You Don't Go," and gave the invitation, and the 30 people came down, and in the back, this little old lady gets up staggering like this, and another little lady grabs her skirt dress and pulls up like that, and here they come staggering down the aisle. And when they got down the aisle, they stood there and stared at me while everybody else was praying. I tried to ignore them. I looked to the left, looked to the right, tried to ignore them, but they just kept there staring at me. And so I looked down and I said, "Mamma, what can I do for you?" And she looked up. She said to me, "I'm 79. This is my mother. You said we weren't right with God if we didn't go soul winning. They took our car away from us." The only thing I could think of was, thank the Lord they took the car. What are we supposed to do? We can't go out anymore. And I thought, oh, man, what am I going to say to her? I said, "Mamma, do you own a telephone?" She looked at me and she went, "Gotcha," and started back to her seat, her and her mother. Whew, got out of that one. Tuesday night, I preach "You Ain't Right If You Don't Go," part two. Gave invitation, 30 people down, and here they come. They come staggering down the aisle, now like this, and got down. They stood there and stared at me again. I thought, oh, no. So I said, "Mamma, what can I do for you?" She looked up, and the daughter said, "We got 5 today." Yeah. Well, somebody shout amen. Yeah. Ha! Got 5 using the telephone. My wife cannot get out, she can't go soul winning, but she loves those telemarketers. You don't have to, all you got to do is witness to them when they call. That's all you got to do. I mean, she said, one guy said, I can't talk to you right now. She said, well, give me your phone number and I'll call you back. The scripture doesn't say here, is it a rich man, a poor man, a white man, a black man, an old man, a young man, a female, a male, a strong man, a weak man? The Bible doesn't say here how big, how little, how old, how young, how pretty, or how ugly. The scripture doesn't say about IQ or talent or education or profession. Just find somebody that wants to be saved. Just find somebody who doesn't want to go to hell. That's your assignment, boys and girls. All we got to do, you're not going to win hundreds or thousands, but I'll tell you, you can win somebody to Christ. Just win somebody to Christ. That's exactly what he's saying. All right, write this down. Genesis 18, verses 20 through 33. Genesis 18, you know the story. Here's Lot's family and in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham went to God and said, God, I hear you're going to destroy that city. Please don't. I've got family down there. And God looked down and said, well, Abraham, I'll tell you what. You go down and find 50 righteous people. If you can find 50 righteous people, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible didn't say how long. I know Abraham went down. He looked, but he couldn't find 50. He came back and said, God, please, please, I couldn't find 50. Please, God, don't destroy. I've got family there. And God said, okay, find 45 righteous people. He went down, looked for 45. Could he find 45? No, he couldn't find it. Couldn't find it at all. He came back and said, God, please don't destroy. Please, I've got family down there. And God said, okay, go down and see if you can find 30. He went down, couldn't find 30. Don't miss this now. Righteous people. He got back, came back to God. God said, well, go find 20. He couldn't find 20. Then the Bible said he came back and said, God, please, I couldn't find 20. And God said, all right, if you'll find 10, I won't destroy it. And then the Bible says God left. God said, I'm not bargaining with you anymore. 10's it. And guess what? They couldn't find 10 righteous people. Why? There were 9 in Lot's family. But they were righteous. So you sit here tonight and say, well, I'm saved. Surely that will get God's attention. No, righteousness exalteth a nation. Amen. And so God would have if they just led one person to Christ. All right, write this down. Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. We use this verse here for soul winning, knocking at the heart's door. I'm not fussing at you about that. I'm not fussing at you about it if you do that. But Revelation 3:20, Jesus is standing at the door, listen carefully, of a local church. It's the worst church in all the Bible. A church that was a people-pleasing, compromising church. A church that was run by ecclesiastical heads, and I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a church run by deacons. A church that had popularity but no convictions and no standards. A church that was the wickedest church in all the Bible. But Jesus was knocking at the door of this worldly church. What did he say? If any man will open up, I'll come into him. It wasn't if the staff gets right or the deacons get right or the charter members get right. No, all I need is one man. That's all. If you ever say to yourself, well, our church is just not, it's just not alive, it's your fault then. It's your fault. All it takes is one member. All it takes is one person on a bus route. All it takes is one person in a Sunday school class. All it takes is just one. And if you win souls, you'll get God's attention. Acts chapter 2, that 120 that showed up made the difference. And thousands came to Christ. Write this down, Ezekiel 22:30. In Ezekiel 22:30, the scripture says God sought for a man to make up the hedge. Not a bunch of men, not a committee, not 100, but just one. All it takes is one. That's all it takes. It takes one person who says, this is it. I've got a bus route. I'm going to do something on this bus route. I've got a Sunday school class. I'm going to have righteousness, not being righteous. Write this down, Luke 15:7-10. Rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Now you realize what that means? The angels aren't rejoicing. They're peering in tonight and wondering why some of you are happy. They're peering in tonight, wonder why you're saying amen, rejoicing, and so on. They don't understand salvation. But You do. You're saved. You're born again. You understand. And you shout about it. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God I'll never spend a moment in hell. Then God said, there's rejoicing present the angels. What does that mean? That means God the Father's rejoicing. That means God the Son's rejoicing. That means that God the Holy Ghost is rejoicing. And that means that people in heaven, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, great cloud of witnesses, they are rejoicing. And they're cheering you on to go soul winning. You don't understand this, but just like you go to a ball game and you sit in the stands, you're not on the playing field, but you see the play develop and you catch that pass, you know, like you do when the Cowboys play. Block that guy, you know. We could win something if we'd ever get our boys out of jail. We'll sit in the stands and we'll holler for our team and holler, run with that ball, block that guy. I believe there are people in heaven hollering at you, saying, get off your duff and go soul winning to church. Hey, go on that bus route. Hey, visit that bus route. Cheering you on. You don't know it. And I think sometimes they look down and we go down this street and they've got a loved one on this street. And I think, hey, dummy, no, don't go down there. Turn right. Over here. Are you from Kentucky? Go over here. Over here. Cheering us on, shouting up for us to win souls, the value of one. I wonder what that Sunday school teacher thought when she put Jackie Boy Howes on her knee. I wonder what Mrs. Hawes thought when she went by that house and said, can Lee come to Sunday school? She had no idea that he would have the great Highland Park Baptist Church, more missionaries around the world than any other one preacher alive. Lee Robertson has got them. I wonder when Lester Roloff went to Baylor University with that milk cow. And milk, that's how he paid his tuition. And they laughed at him. Laughed at him. I wonder, nobody knew, but God did. Just one Texan on a mission. I wonder when Spurgeon got saved, and there he was, a layman up speaking that night, a snowstorm. And Spurgeon wasn't going to go to church. They decided to go to church. He went and stood in the back. And that deacon got up and said, our pastor couldn't make it. And he preached, and little Spurgeon, young Spurgeon, got saved. Nobody had any idea. They probably just thought it was just a little urchin. Street urchin, they got saved. Billy Sunday heard the mission singing gospel songs. He had been drinking and wondering what in the world life was all about. And he heard those gospel songs and he got saved. And turned the world up. Even the secular people wrote about Billy Sunday. Tonight, those on your bus route, that little boy, that little girl may turn out to be another Mrs. Beverly Hiles. You never know. But don't just look at them like they're little urchins. And by the way, the ones that are most rowdy ones will probably turn out to be the best preachers. At our place, I'd say to the ladies, now when you come to the altar, bring your purse. Because the bus kids are running around. I would say to preacher, send me your sermon tapes. I'll know whether you got the right kind of church or not. If somewhere in the middle of your sermon you don't say, hey, sit down back, put that gun up. What's the matter with you? I walked into my office one day to put my teaching Bible down to get my sermon, and I walked in. We've got that drop ceiling there, and I walked in, and there was a leg dangling in my office. The ceiling, the tile was up, there's a leg dangling there, and you could hear a bunch of boys talking. What they'd done is got up in the ceiling and started crawling from one spot to another spot, lifting up to see what, and you could hear them say, what's down there? And I walked over and looked up, and that kid looked at me and he said, oh, scram quick, it's the preacher. I start pushing back like that. The men's bathroom's right behind my office. And they pushed one of those kids, bless his heart, he fell right through the ceiling and hit the floor in the men's bathroom. A deacon was in there, and a visiting man was in there, and the man went like that, and the deacon didn't even break. He said, oh, don't worry about it, it's a bus kid. I've had him get up in the middle of the service, walk out to go to the bathroom or something like that. You know, and it's just dangerous to do that. So I mean, hey, sit down. Son, where are you going? He said, the bathroom. You want to go with me? No, I don't want to go with you. Had the Lord's Supper, and you know, that juice thing is so quiet, you know. And the bus kid got up and chased a usher down and said, hey, fill her up again. Fill her up again. These kids are a mess. But one of them may just turn out to be another Jack Hiles or another Robertson. The value of one. If you'd have been the only one ever born, ever sinned, ever headed for hell, God still will let his son come and die for you. Little boy's walking on the beach. He loved the beach. Didn't wear any shoes, didn't wear any sandals. He just squished that sand right between his toes. And as he walked along the beach, every day he looked for it. He loved it. He loved it. One day the tide came in and brought in thousands of starfish all over that beach. And that little boy couldn't go out as far, and the water receded, and all those starfish lay on that beach, and so he'd come out day after day. And finally, one day he said, oh my goodness, this is going to be the hottest time of the year. These starfish are going to die. And so he started picking up the starfish and started throwing them back in the ocean. An old man up on the hill in a shack began to laugh at him. Hey, boy! Hey, boy! What's the matter with you? You think you're going to save all those starfish? And the little boy paid him no mind. He just picked up another one, threw it back in. Finally, after a couple of days, he just broke. The old man said, what's the matter? Don't you think you can do it? The little boy picked up a starfish, and he looked at the old man. He said, sir, I may not be able to save all these starfish, but to this one, it'll mean everything. And they threw it in the ocean. Somebody's mama, somebody's daddy, somebody's son, somebody's daughter. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.